I just want to use as a thought for today to put a tag on this text. And I want to speak with you just for a few moments briefly from the subject, God pleasers.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Somebody say that with me. Come on. God pleasers. I'm gonna give you one more chance to say it with meaning. Come on.
God
pleasers. Amen. Several years ago, you may have heard of Pastor Tommy Tenney. Pastor Tenney is a pastor in Louisiana. Quite notably, he became well known because he wrote a book, and the name of that book was God Chasers. Amen. He said, Dr. Tenney says in his book that we ought to be in a constant pursuit of our God. Amen. And he got critical acclaim because this book that he wrote reinvigorated a fire in the body of Christ that we should be constantly trying to reach a place where we are in the presence of God. Amen. And I just want to say that the question we need to ask today is, are we, what we are doing, really pleasing God? Oh, I believe I ought to get a little bit more response than that. When we look at the way that we live our life, brothers and sisters, the question that we need to ask ourselves is, does my life really please God? I know that we have become very developed in being able to please ourselves. Amen. If you're honest with me this morning, you know that you know exactly how to make yourself feel good. Amen. We've got a comfort clothes that we wear, and you can tell by the way that we walk when we got our comfort clothes on that those are the clothes that make us feel good. I can't preach about nobody but myself, but y'all know sometimes you can tell when pastor is wearing something that makes him feel good because he got a little more pep in his step. Help me, Jesus. Yes, and I know that Sister White's got some shoes that when she puts them on, she talks different and she walks different. Amen, because they make her feel good. We know how to please ourselves. I wish I had a prayer in church this morning. I wish everybody would be real this morning. But see, if you ain't got comfort clothes, I know you got comfort food. Help me today. We know that ice cream and cookies late over in the midnight hour will show up make us, I wish I had somebody had shown up make us feel good. I know how to get myself going. All you got to do is fix me up with some blueberry pancakes with some strawberries on the side and some scrambled eggs, and I'm all right all night when you fix me up like that. We got comfort food, but I wonder, do we know how to please God? See, we've really worked on knowing how to please ourselves. But I'm wondering, do we know how to please God? Because when we get up on Sunday morning, we start real early trying to get ourselves fixed up to look like we want to look. But see, I wonder, is that really to please you or is that to please God? When you come out to the house of prayer and you got on your Sunday, is that to please you or is it to please God? We have to ask ourselves, does our life really please God? I'm talking about what you do with your money, honey. Does it really please God? I know God doesn't care what kind of, whether you drive a Cadillac or a rattle cat. God doesn't move, we're not worried about that. But he wants to know, is what you are being blessed with doing somebody else some good? Amen. I want to ask somebody today, have you ever asked yourself the question? Have you looked at the man or the woman in the mirror and asked this question, is my life pleasing to God? Well, you say, well, Pastor, how can we please God? I tell you one way you can please God. Number one, you can write this down. The first W is worship. Amen. I don't see nobody writing, but listen, I know what I'm talking about when I say that worship pleases God. Because the Bible said that God inhabits the praises of his people. Am I right about it? And I looked over that in the book of Isaiah about worship because, you know, the Bible said that Isaiah said it was in the year that King Uzziah died that I also, the Lord. And Isaiah said, when I looked at him, he was high and lifted up. And the Bible, and he said that the skirts of his garment went all the way down in his temple, and his train filled the temple. And when his train went into the temple, Isaiah said, I saw these little six-winged creatures, and they had two wings to veil their face, and two wings to veil their feet. I wish I had a Baptist church this morning, and two wings that they did fly with, and they kept going into the presence of the Lord. And every time that they would go in, they would say, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. Let me tell you, if you don't know how to worship God, all you got to do is say, holy, holy, holy. When you out in the world and you don't know what to do because Satan is throwing everything he can at you, and every distraction comes in your life to keep you off praying, let me tell you something, child, you don't have to be a smart person. All you got to do is say, holy, holy, holy. Yes, when you know that your back is against the wall and you're ready to wave the white flag and throw in the towel, I want you to try this one time. Just say, holy, holy, holy. When you walk into a situation where there ain't nothing but a whole lot of hell going on, and folk raising hell on the right and they raising hell on the left, I want to challenge you to walk up in that place and stand flat-footed like you're a blood-washed, blood-bought child of God and cry out, holy, holy, holy. Worship pleases God. And then I tell you another W-2. I tell you, witness pleases God too. Glory to God. Amen. God didn't save you just for you to sit soaking sour and sit on your salvation. I'm going to say that again because somebody going to raise it. Write it down. God did not save you for you to sit soak and sour and sit on your salvation. God saved you so that you can go out there in the world and show somebody how delightful it is to be a child of God. Let me tell you something. I want somebody to know that I'm glad to be God's child. When I leave out of this place, somebody can tell that I'm happy that God saved me, that he made me, that he brought me, that he How you know it, Pastor? How you know it? Well, see, because my boys, Peter and John, they rolled by the gate called Beautiful. That was the gate at the temple. And when they rolled up in there, there was a guy that was sitting at the gate. And he looked upon them, and the Bible says he looked at them because they looked like maybe they would have a little something to put in his cup. I believe that said that Christians ought to look like they got a little something. Oh, you can get mad with me if you want to. But listen, they ain't going to follow us to the church if what we got up in here ain't no better than what they got out there. Amen. And so he looked at them as though he were going to receive an offering. But they looked at him and they said, look here, son, silver and gold have we none, but such as I have, I'll give it unto you. And that's what God wants you to do. He wants to share your such as you have with somebody. Is there anybody on this side that know what it feels like to share your such as you have? Listen here. All you got to do is hold your head up and say, I don't know what you need, but I know God's got it. I don't know what you're living without, but I know God's got it. I don't know what's going on in your life, but whatever you need, God's got it. Amen. Worship, witness. But then I got to bowl down your alley, hold your toes back, and if you can't say amen, just say oh me. Because works also pleases God. Amen. James was Jesus' brother. And I believe James knew what he was talking about. When James said that works, faith without works is dead. And where I came from, they taught me that anything dead ought to be dead. Amen. And James said that, listen, if you can show me your works with faith, I can show you my work without faith. I can show you my works with faith. In other words, what James is saying is that I use my faith to produce good works in my life.
Yeah, here's what you're trying to say, Pastor. Well, see, my faith is just not for me to say I'm saved, I'm sanctified, and I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Yeah, you know, because see, that's just a whole lot of talk. But my faith, not only does it affect my talk, but it also affects my walk. And so when I go out into the world, people can see that God is working on the inside of me because the thing that I'm able to do for God. Oh, y'all looking at me like I need to explain it a little bit more. Don't you know that God wants you to be able to go up there and lift up somebody's bowed down head? Amen. When you see somebody walking around and they're looking down, you need to be able to go there and put some sunshine in their life. Amen. You need to be able to give somebody something that needs a little helping hand along the way. We are not saved just to be good looking Christians, but we got to do something in this world. Look, we got school that we need to go to and pray for people. We got hospital we need to go to and pray. Don't send the Lord down there. You go down there. You go to the hospital and you pray for somebody. You go to the nursing home and you lift somebody up. Don't just go to church on Sunday. I want to see your works on Monday. I want to see what you do on Tuesday. I want to see you on Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday. Uh-oh, you're meddling now, Pastor. See, because Saturday is our day that we want to recline. Relax, kick back. The kids say chillaxing, but see, let me tell you something. If you give God what your time, guess what? The Bible says if you will acknowledge God in all your ways, He will direct your path. And sometime on your chillax time, God will tell you need to get in your secret closet and pray for somebody. Because see, while you chillaxing, somebody else is going through. While you sitting back, right back watching the TV, somebody else is in a crisis. Somebody else is in the emergency room. Somebody else is in jail with their child. You need to be sensitive to the Holy Ghost. I don't know where all that came from. Y'all just pulled all of that out of me. Glory to God. Does my life please God? See, some folks, their life doesn't please God, but it pleases their employer. Pastor, I got to work. I can't make it because I got to work. Oh, but I want to ask you, who gave you this? Amen. You got to make sure that you get your priorities in place. Yes. Amen. Amen. Not only do some folks think that they need to please their employer, some folks believe they need to please their associates too. Oh, I better look over on this side. Amen. They believe that, you know, I don't want to upset my friends. Young people, let me tell you something. Sometimes you have to put your friends at a distance so that you can keep your eyes focused on Jesus Christ. Child, I ain't got time right now. I'll have to holler at you later, you know, but I don't have time right now. I was in Bible study. I was praying right there. Oh, they won't bother you. You start talking like that. Amen. Because they don't want to hear that. You just tell them that and see if they're going to say, okay, girl, well, I'm going to let you go because I don't want to get involved in that because maybe what you got, I might catch it too. That's what our Christianity ought to be, contagious. Folk ought to be afraid that if they keep talking to you, what's on you is going to get on them. Glory to God. Yes, yes, yes. But look. I know this is controversial, but some of us want to please our partners too. Amen. I can't preach about nobody but myself. Amen. I'm gonna try to do whatever I can to keep Sister White smiling. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. But I can't let that get in the way of me pleasing God. Amen. And so sometimes I have to reprioritize my life and recognize that I thought it was family came first and then work and then God. But I realized, no, God comes first and then family second and then work. That's the priority of your life. God ought to be at the top of your life. And then comes your family and then comes your work. And if you got it all mixed up, baby, you need to get that thing stirred up and get it back on track.
Well, I've talked enough about what pleases God. I,
not please God.
Go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Amen. And I ain't throwing no rocks at nobody. I can just say in my own life, I did a whole lot of stuff that did not please God. I don't know about you. You probably ain't never done anything wrong. You did everything like you were supposed to. But I can give you some firsthand witness of what it feels like to do some things that does not please God. So, what does not please God? Well, I'm going to tell you something that I know that does not please God. Lip service does not please God. Lip service. You know what lip service is. Lip service is what we do when we talk one way, but we live another way. Lip service is like this. When we talk right, but we walk left. Somebody ought to write that down. Lip service is when you talk right, but you're living left. And that's what, that does not please God. Because don't you know, child of God, I won't even, from the smallest to the largest, don't you know that God sees everything? Amen. And so even though you might be serving him with your lips, but your heart is far from him, don't you realize, child of God, that God knows it all?
Amen.
That's the other thing that does not please God. Eye service. You know what eye service is? Eye service is when I'm good as long as God is watching me. And we know he's always watching you. He is omnipresent. He can see you all the time. But see, we're like children. Many of us, you know how some children are when their parents are around. Oh, they real, real good. But as soon as their parents turn their back, they'll set the woods on fire. Amen. That's what eye service is. Some of us are suffering from delusions of grandeur because we think we can offer God eye service. Y'all ain't gonna say amen. I'm gonna go on down your road too. Because see, we think that maybe if we act like we're a Christian at church on Sunday, that we can live like a devil all the other time. I can show love to my brothers and sisters on Sunday. Oh, how you doing, brother? Nice to, good to see you. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. But during the week, I ain't speaking to that. Not at our church. Amen. Maybe some of them other churches. Amen. Yes. Yes. But listen, here's the thing. Paul talked to Timothy about, he said, there are a certain type of folk that you just don't need to hang around. And I want to tell you this, that applies in the world, and it also applies in the church. Amen. There's a certain kind of folk that you just don't need to hang around. There was a story told that one Sunday morning, the folk were in church, and they were sitting there worshiping the Lord, and two guys walked in, and they had ski masks on, and they had machine guns in their hands. And they said, anybody in here that wants to take a bullet for Jesus, stay in your seat. And after the deacons had ran out and the choir had run out and the ushers had ran out. Look, it ain't funny. It ain't funny because we living in a world that's like that. That is only 6 degrees away from reality. So after everybody ran out, there was about 20 people left in church. Amen. And at that time, the guy said, "They said, okay, Pastor, we done got rid of all the hypocrites now. Now you can go on. Amen." I'm rolling down your alley because I want to know, are you willing to take would you have been out in the parking lot? Or you'd have still been in the church? That's our expression. I'm going to have to pray on that one, Pastor. You can tell when a person is vacillating. When you ask them something, they say, well, Pastor, I'll pray about it. I'm going to have to pray about that one, Pastor. I know y'all laughing, but y'all are serious too, right? Amen. Because this thing that we're talking about here today is serious business. Because of that first word there, Paul said, these are the type of folk that you don't need to hang around. Traitors. Say it with me. Traitors. Now, perhaps the most well-known traitor of all time is Judas Iscariot. Amen. But if you really do an in-depth study of Judas's life, it wasn't all bad. It was just bad at the end. Amen. Just let me throw this out there for you. Jesus had a very successful ministry for 3 years, didn't he? Amen. And in order for Jesus to take all of those disciples and all of their families, you know, Jesus had 70 disciples that traveled along with him, plus their families. And they went everywhere that he went. You know, in order for all of those folk to have an entourage like that, there had to be some money involved. And who did Jesus pick to take care of the money? He picked Judas to take care of the money. So up until the time that Judas got off on the wrong track, the implication is that the money was straight up until that time. I know y'all don't like this kind of preaching because you ain't never thought about it like that. But Judas was a traitor. And look, the only difference between us and Judas is the decisions that we make. Because when you get into a situation where somebody asks you, are you on the Lord's side or not? You got to be able to say, I'm on the Lord's side no matter how it looks. No matter what you think or what anybody else think, I'm on God's side. Amen. Amen. I'm going to move on because I know y'all can't take a whole lot of that. The other one is heady. I really want to talk about this one because listen, Jerusalem, heady folk are folk that believe that the way that they see the world is the only way to see it. And if they believe that, brother, they believe that because they think that God is not able to change their life because they have already decided what their life is going to be like. So they are heady, meaning that they have a carnal mind instead of a spiritual mind. And the spiritual mind knows that God is in control. Well, we got to move on because the next one is high-minded. Have you ever met anyone that feels like that nobody else in the world got any sense but them? Come on now, don't leave me out there by myself. You ever met folk like that? They just think that they wrote the book on everything. Glory to God. And all of us struggle with it sometimes. All of us have high-minded tendencies. Amen. We have to pull ourselves back and put the reins on our mind because the Bible says that we have to cast down imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. So we all are susceptible to high-mindedness. But here's the antidote. Here's the serum for high-mindedness. The Bible says, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and in due time, he will exalt you. We have to humble ourselves and recognize that just because you thought it in your little old mind, child of God, does not mean that's the way God said, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. Well, high-mindedness, but the last one is lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. And that's what we're talking about today. Are we pleasing God with our lives? We have to ask ourselves that every day. Is my life pleasing to God? Have to be careful not to think that if you're going through trials and tribulations, that you are not pleasing God.
All right.
Because my Bible tells me that it pleased God to sacrifice his only begotten son. It pleased God for them to whip him through the streets of Jerusalem. It pleased God for them to put him in a trumped up trial and levy charges against him that had no merit whatsoever. It pleased God that they would put an old rugged cross on his back. It pleased God for them to spit on him and ridicule him and talk about him. It pleased God that they would lay him down on that cross and nail his hands into that cross. It pleased God that they would nail his feet. It pleased God that they would put him in a borrowed tomb. But you know that even though that pleased God for his son to suffer, the Bible says Jesus learned obedience. You listen to me. Amen. By the things he suffered. Amen. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know who I'm talking to. But don't you let the enemy trick you and beguile you because you're going through something. Because listen, I want you to know that Friday happened, but Sunday morning was on the way. And I don't know what you're going through in your life. You might be going through your Calvary experience right now, but I want you to know that Sunday morning is on the way in your life. Because early Sunday morning, God raised Jesus with all power in his hand. And whatever you're going through, child of God, God is a God of resurrection power. And that same resurrection power that raised Jesus from the dead will raise you up out of your situation today.
Amen.
Are you pleasing God? Is your life pleasing to your Father? The question has been asked. If you don't know, you say, Pastor, I don't know whether I'm pleasing God or not. I really don't know. I want you to know that my Bible tells me that Jesus went to the Jordan River one day. And John baptized Jesus in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, the Spirit ascended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You want to please God? Get connected to his son Jesus Christ. If you've never made him your Lord and Savior, you can get that straight today, right now. All you have to do is confess with your mouth Romans 10 and 9, the Lord Jesus Christ, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. There's one who would like to give their life. It's our deacon put out the chair today. Amen. There is one. Why don't you come on? Make a quality decision today.